Welcome to the Teachers of Europe podcast, a podcast to support teachers across Europe in addressing common classroom challenges and featuring teachers that can inspire others to follow their footsteps. My name is Ruth Batista, Senior Professional Development Manager for the European School Education Platform, and I'll be your host for a conversation on teaching entrepreneurship and developing an entrepreneurial mindset in schools. Let me start with a question inspired by Stephen Stubner's TEDx talk. I don't know if you know about it, but I encourage you to listen to it. And this talk actually starts with a very interesting question. What if education were less about giving students the right answers and more about helping them turn ideas into action? Well, across Europe, entrepreneurship education is increasingly recognized as a key competence for lifelong learning, reflected in frameworks such as the European Commission's Entrecomp. But teaching entrepreneurship is not just about starting businesses. It's about nurturing creativity, initiative, problem-solving, collaboration, and a sense of responsibility. Skills young people need to navigate uncertainty and shape their futures. Today, we will explore how teachers and school leaders are making entrepreneurial learning meaningful in real classrooms and what it looks like in practice, what challenges arise, and how education can take small but impactful steps to get started. And for that, I have with me two very special guests, Cornelia and Hazel. Hazel Israel is an international education researcher and curriculum specialist and co-founder of Bontani Serum. And she has over 25 years experience working with teachers and schools across the UK and Europe, particularly on this topic and frameworks like the Entrepreneurship Competence Framework from the European Commission. And her current work focuses on helping schools connect learner-centered real-world learning with sustainability, digital innovation, and social impact. Cornelia Loinova is a teacher of hotel management and marketing at the Hotel Academy in Bratislava, as well as the coordinator of Erasmus Plus projects at her school. And she also works as a teacher trainer and consultant with a strong focus on entrepreneurship education, project-based learning, and social-emotional learning. She's an e-twinning ambassador and a passionate about international collaboration and helping teachers innovate in their classrooms. Thank you so much for accepting this invitation, both of you, and it is truly a pleasure to be with you today.
Many thanks for inviting me.
Yes, also delighted to be here today. Thank you very much for the invitation.
I'm sure it's going to be a great conversation. And to begin with, I would like to zoom out a little bit and maybe start by clarifying what we mean by entrepreneurship in a school context. Hazel, maybe, when you hear the term entrepreneurship education, what does it mean to you beyond starting a business?
We work to the different definition of entrepreneurship as creating value of different types for other people. So that's how we understand entrepreneurship. So in terms of teaching entrepreneurship in education, it's very much about developing agency, helping learners to see themselves as people who can shape their worlds. So we encourage learners, once they've learned something, that the learning is very purposeful and meaningful so that they can apply that knowledge or understanding or the skills to turn ideas into action and create social and cultural or environmental value. We tend to be less interested in economic value because there are very many people doing that in traditional business school models. So, yes, so the entrepreneurial education is about applying learning to create different sorts of value, but also builds confidence for learners to deal with uncertainty, risk, change. You know, when we look at the world around us, it's very volatile, very uncertain, complex, ambiguous. So entrepreneurial education, it really seeks to prepare learners for life in a world like that. So creativity, citizenship, community engagement, it's a much broader definition than just enterprise.
Mm-hmm. So could we maybe say or agree that you see it more as a mindset skill or a way of learning?
May I say, for me, it is like a way of thinking. Yes, it is about value creation. I fully agree with Hazel. And for me, I see it as a transition from being a passive consumer of information to being an active producer of solutions, let's say. And in the classroom, maybe, because I'm still a teacher in the classroom. So it means like moving away from what is the right answer to how can I improve this situation or whatever. So yes, it's about this agency. It's about this empowering students to maybe realize that they have agency to change their surroundings. So that is, for me, a kind of entrepreneurship in education.
Indeed. There's three things that I hear on your answers. It's agency, responsibility, and active citizenship, I would say. I don't know if you agree with me or not. And maybe, Hazel, I don't know if you would like to comment on the mindset and the way of learning questioner as well.
Yes, definitely. I think it's certainly a bit of both. It's sort of inviting learners to make real decisions about what to learn, how to learn it, what they would like to achieve through that learning. But the mindset is important. Yes, it's very much a can-do, solution-focused growth mindset. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cornelia, building on this, what skills, attitudes, or competencies do you most hope students to develop through entrepreneurial learning?
I really like working with this Entracomp framework that you mentioned because it organizes 15 competencies into three logical areas. So it is like ideas and opportunities, the resources, and into action. However, if you ask me what is most important, I believe that we cannot expect students to be initiative and active if we haven't first kind of lay the foundation of social and emotional skills, because it's for me like a building house. You need a solid base for that. So for me, it's about this inner self. Yes, before taking actions, students need to develop self-awareness and self-efficacy. Because they need to be aware of their emotions and thoughts and actions. I really like another comp, like life comp, which defines all these important life competencies. Because when a student is self-confident and understands their own value, they can gain the courage to take the risk and cope with uncertainty. And also it's about the social connection. When we understand ourselves, then we can better understand others. And this social area is about, you know, this empathy and communication skills, because we never do anything just alone. We really need to collaborate and turn these ideas into, let's say, collective projects. And for this, you need to be able to listen and to connect with your peers. It's also this inner self and social connection is something then that allowed us to be resourceful and active and finding creative ways to use what we have to create value. My goal is always not to teach students how to plan a project or whatever, but maybe to first to grow them into individuals who really have the emotional intelligence to lead, who have empathy to collaborate, and who are resilient individuals. That is because then they are able to make things happen. So this is something that for me is most important, let's say, within this entrepreneurship education or entrepreneurial learning.
Mm-hmm. And how do these differ from, or maybe complement actually, the more traditional academic outcomes? Actually, maybe I will direct this question to Hazel, and of course Cornelia is most welcome to comment. But considering that these competencies that Cornelia just mentioned And usually the question that all teachers at some point do, and how can they fit this into an already full curriculum? From your experience, how can actually entrepreneurship be integrated across different subjects or age groups rather than treated as a standalone activity or subject?
Well, there are a lot. It's not about doing more necessarily. It's just about doing what you already do differently, mm-hmm. I think. But entrepreneurship definitely adds value to different subject areas. When you think, for example, literacy, it's all about communication, pitching ideas, persuasive writing, storytelling for social change, for example. The maths is quite an obvious one around certainly the business side of entrepreneurship with budgeting, pricing, but there's also data analysis, you know, whether that's feedback on prototypes or iterating products and services. In terms of science, solving those real environmental or technical problems, humanities. So at Bantony Kemri, we've been doing a range of really nice community-based heritage projects where pupils arrange pop-up visitor centres or do visitor guides for different heritage assets. But I think entrepreneurship, those approaches, if we think of entrepreneurship as the competencies that Cornelia was talking about, but also about pedagogical principles, you know, that sort of like letting learners lead, collaborating, looking to the real world to create impacts, working with community members, you know, people from outside of the school. Those principles take us into entrepreneurial learning as a really meaningful and purposeful way of developing the competencies that Cornelia was talking about. But I think it's just about giving learners choice, sort of aiming for that divergent thinking rather than convergent thinking. You know, traditional education is very much about knowing the right answer, getting the answer right. Whereas in entrepreneurship, we're looking for multiple solutions and evaluating multiple solutions.
And how early do you think entrepreneurial learning begin?
When they're three, the earlier the better, really, I think, because there's a lot of talk that traditional schooling kills creativity, whereas children are very creative. So we really want to capture and harness that creativity and also make the link to those very young learners that learning is meaningful and has real world value, you know, that they can take what they learn outside of the classroom, outside of their school settings, into their communities. And so it's more purposeful in that respect. So yeah, the earlier the better, I would say.
Cornelia, first of all, would you agree with this?
Yes, of course. I'm sure about this. And maybe when Hazel mentioned this creativity, there is also the power of curiosity. For me, it is really like main pillar of entrepreneurship. Yes, if we are curious, let's say when we are curious about how we function, then we develop self-awareness. I like to mention this all the time to my students. Then when we are curious about others, then we develop empathy. And then when we are curious about how the world works, then we educate ourselves. So really we can develop this across all subjects. And then what is another like kind of pillar for me is growth mindset. Maybe we all know this power of growth mindset by Carol Dweck. If not, so then I recommend to read to everyone because it's really very important for us. And it can be also integrated always and everywhere. It's about how we support children, how we provide feedback, how we praise them, you know, all these kind of things. And then also what is another like pillar of entrepreneurial learning that we can develop everywhere from very early age, it's like stepping back, not doing everything for children, because this learning happens when the students are active. Not the teacher should be active in the classroom. Students should be active. It's this kind of saying that we should be lazy teachers. that students should come home, that they are tired, not the teacher one. You know, during the classroom, students should have this active role. And whether they are 7 or 17, when we give them this ownership of a task, then they learn to be resourceful and proactive. Maybe whatever students are able to do, let them do it. So, and we can do it from very early age up to 20 years old. So I have my students who are 20.
Well, with your vast experience, could you maybe share a concrete example of a project or a classroom activity where the students were encouraged to take initiative or solve a real world problem where you got them tired, maybe?
Yes, I am really proud of one project because I connected it with Itwinning community. So in my classroom, we made a project Make a Difference Day. And it was very simple. I asked my students to look at the community and identify someone who has a problem or specific need. Mm-hmm. And then I challenged them to turn that problem into an opportunity to help. So students started by brainstorming solutions, and then they really took the whole full responsibility for the organization. And for several years, my students, for example, organized a charity run. Mm-hmm. And it was not just like they were running, but they really managed the whole event. They raised funds for that. The aim was, for instance, to purchase, medical equipment for an oncology department, or we supported a school for children in Africa. So it was for different reasons. But then we started, in my classroom, but then through eTwinning community, and I led this eTwinning group, Entrepreneurship in Education. So I challenged other teachers with this, and across the Europe, schools really joined this kind of Mega Difference Day. And it was such a huge impact, and also on the students, because students felt important. They just realized that they really had a meaningful role in their community. And also, you know, they realized that this small initiative in the classroom in Bratislava, in Slovakia, yes, could inspire students in other countries to take actions. And so I really share this this project everywhere because I was so proud of this, and it spread everywhere.
That's a wonderful experience indeed. What do you think students find most challenging or motivating?
I think that it was quite easy for them to see that also that there are so many problems everywhere, but then to switch this, that the problem can be just an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So let's be active. So there are no problems. It is this saying that there are no problems. There are only opportunities. So just switch from this problem seeing to, no, it is an opportunity for us to do something. Mm-hmm. No, to, and then when they were able to do all this, because you can imagine that they had to communicate together, they had to negotiate with many different people. So they really learned to work together. They developed those collaborative skills and also, of course, empathy. And all this together, it just, the result was perfect. And somehow they even didn't feel that it was so difficult to realize, you know, to organize all that. In the end, working together as a team, it was something fantastic. They were able just to do more and more projects and meaningful projects. Because I would like to add that it must make sense for, or it should make sense for students. Mm-hmm. It should be meaningful for them, because then they were really happy that they were able to help. Because for me, you know, we should maybe focus on teach students how to be, most of all, human beings. So this was so important that they were able to do this.
And this is actually the perfect bridge for my next question, Cornelia. And you mentioned a little bit that, and maybe so I would start with Hazel, and turning a little bit to the role of the teachers and also the schools in supporting entrepreneurial learning. This often requires a shift in teaching practice, as you've been already sharing and explaining through your example. So from your perspective, what changes do you think are most commonly needed?
We've got a really nice phrase in English that I like because it rhymes, so it's nice. So the teacher's role changes from the sage on the stage, the person who knows everything, who owns all the correct answers, to becoming a guide on the side. So not the sage on the stage, but the guide on the side. And that's very much then about the shift from delivering a subject to facilitating learning. So instead of content delivery, it's very much more about learning design. And then the teacher, instead of controlling the learning, is facilitating it. So that shift from single right answers to multiple possibilities, in line with that more divergent thinking I mentioned earlier, but also moving away from more individual performance and work to team-based collaborative learning, from fixed plans and protocols to more flexible pathways, exploration, experimentation. And instead of that sort of assessment of recall, you know, what can I remember from what we've done, it's much more about evaluating progress, to look for continuous improvements and sort of better iterations, picking up on the growth mindset point that Cornelia mentioned. So yes, different approaches, definitely. And greater comfort with uncertainty.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, because when you don't know what learners are going to come up with, for example, we did an event and we had a number of schools, and the schools could pick which aspect of a historical topic they wanted to research. Then they brought it all together to share with each other, to teach each other those aspects of the theme or topic that they'd chosen. And it was a medieval battle that had taken place locally. And one of the groups of children wanted to be eco-warriors. So they had solar panel capes, which was genius. And we, you know, as a teacher, we'd never have come up with that. And so it's really fantastic when we invite pupils to make decisions about their learning. They come up with much more creative ideas than we do. But it's nerve-wracking, because you don't know what they're going to come up with. You know, you've got to be able to tolerate that uncertainty. But that's exactly one of the competences that we would look to develop in our learners anyway.
Exactly. So maybe if you want to summarize a little bit, let's say that the most common changes that are needed are moving from a teacher-led to a learner-centered approach. Secondly, emphasizing processes over the perfect outcomes or the academic outcomes. And maybe the last but not the least, creating space for the experimentation and the reflection, right? I do have a question here, which goes directly into that direction, Hazel, about balancing the structure and the freedom. So that managing that uncertainty. Maybe Cornelia, how do you maintain clarity and the direction while still giving the students this room to explore, to take risks, to make these decisions, to navigate this uncertainty?
Yes, so this is always a challenge, because if we give like too much structure, let's say, then it kills creativity. When we give too much freedom, then sometimes it could be frustration or chaos. So, but what I like, and some years ago I began to apply, of course, project-based learning, but also Scrum methodology. And it helps, because let's say that I provide this what and why. So we like, define the goal and competencies we want to develop or to grow. What is important that I also set checkpoints, or in Scrum, like sprints, but we don't need to mention this, but kind of checkpoints. Yes, these are like regular moments where the teams, they stop to reflect. Mm-hmm. What did we achieve? What is the next step? Where are we stuck? You know? And then these checkpoints are kind of safety net, let's say, for students. And then they can like move forward. So we give also not feedback, but feed forward also, you know. And then the process is freedom. You know, within these checkpoints, students have really control over this, how to do the things. You know, mm-hmm. they own a task board. They used to have a paper board. Now they we have, of course, digital tools for that. So they can choose which problems to solve first. And, you know, it is really managing the whole project by just the team. Yes, I think that like these checkpoints, clear milestones that I give them, it can be like enough security mm-hmm. for them to take a risk, you know. But of course, it maybe sounds very easily, but sometimes and from the beginning, it's not so easy because students need to learn also how to be responsible. mm-hmm. Also in a team, within the team.
So. And how do you how do you and them respond when things don't go as planned?
We can have a kind of, or we make kind of agreements at the beginning as a teams. So okay. We know that how to communicate. Also, there is another thing. You know, collaboration doesn't just happen. So, it really needs a lot of a lot of skills to develop. And we also first build relationships together. So mm-hmm. for me, from the beginning of the school year, the first weeks, we really devote time to building relationships and all these, let's say, life skills, so mm-hmm. that we are then able to work together. We have clear rules, let's say, and we set them together. Mm-hmm. So we have written rules how to behave, and we start from how do we want to feel, how do we want, you know, so from this. And then if we don't follow the rules, so then what happens? So it's quite clear from the beginning when we said this, then we know what to do, mm-hmm. you know, and they know within their teams. And if they are not able to do or to solve this within their teams, then teacher comes then yeah. after this, not from the beginning, because they should somehow learn then how to negotiate, how to solve problems within all these behavior, let's say, problems that they have among them. Mm-hmm. So it's about, yes, again, rules. They okay. have freedom, but they have responsibility, and we have rules. If we want to cooperate, collaborate in whatever, we just need to follow the rules.
Yeah. I'd like to add a point there. One of the things that's really a really important feature of entrepreneurial learning is that freedom to fail. Failure is something that is not particularly positive in traditional education, but certainly in entrepreneurial education, failure is to be celebrated because we learn our most important lessons from failure. So it's having that space to fail comfortably because of the learning that we gain from it. Mm-hmm. I just see failure as important learning moments rather mm-hmm. than terminal disasters, you know.
That also, that's very important indeed, but it also causes maybe some obstacles to some teachers. What would you say that are the most common obstacles that teachers face when teaching entrepreneurial learning?
I think that there's curriculum. The curriculum tends to be very busy and very full. So limits on curriculum time can inhibit teachers' experimentation with entrepreneurial learning, but also pressures from examinations and accountability systems if the wider systems don't recognise the value and characteristics of entrepreneurial education. That can be very difficult. And that lack of confidence in the open-ended learning we were talking about, you know, what's going to happen if I give them this task? You know, that fear of losing control of the classroom. But I think the school support, you know, the whole school support and a whole school approach is really important to sort of provide that support and confidence that students need, and recognising the value and where it adds value to the curriculum.
And any of you have experienced any other kinds of support that have proven helpful in overcoming these challenges?
For me, I need to say again, as an Itwinner, that for me, like, collaboration, yes, for students, but also for teachers is important. This most helpful support has been international community, like eTwinning. Yes. And then also others. I was a member of Junior Achievement, of course, community of teachers. So when you see a colleague in your country or another country, you know, successfully running something, so it gives you maybe this courage to try it yourself. And we know that eTwinning is for us like another teacher's room that we can always find help and really inspiration and motivation. So for me, it's been for years like that.
Do you have any other examples of support, Hazel?
Yes, certainly. We've got, I mean, an obvious one would be our EntreComp community. We have an online community with 2,500 teachers from 80-something countries, maybe even 91 countries now. And that provides a forum and a platform for that networking, but also to share resources, to share inspiring practices. That sort of those connections and those networks can be really, really helpful in terms of building confidence, being inspired, having access to resources, you know, not having to duplicate efforts and start from scratch. You have a whole bank of materials that you can adapt. So it makes it all seem a lot more doable. But we've also got a really nice resource scaffold developed by the Creating New Learning Initiative in the European Training Foundation. It's a deck of cards for curriculum planning, which can embed the development of the key competences with some tried and tested methods, teaching methods and assessment methods. And the principles, the pedagogical principles associated with Scaffold reflect those associated with EntreComp, that real world impact, collaborating, creating different types of value, all the sorts of things we've spoken about, other methods and principles employed by Scaffold. But yes, that networking outside of your organisation, but even internally, you know, to have that support internally is important, but also partnerships with other organisations can be very inspiring also.
Yes, I would also add maybe this local community like NGOs. We also collaborate at school or local entrepreneurs or parents, you know. So sometimes I just ask really professionals, entrepreneurs to come to my classroom to talk to students. Students can pitch an idea to real professional, you know. So it's also just open our schools to community. It could also be helpful.
So also maybe just summarizing a little bit all the ideas: professional development, peer learning, collaboration within the school and with other schools, partnerships, local communities or other organizations, frameworks like EntreComp as a reference point, as a common reference language, I would say even. This would be the kind of support that teachers can get while teaching entrepreneurship learning.
And online communities.
Yes, online communities. Yes, indeed. And for our listeners of today, we will add all these references and links in the description of this podcast so you can access all these networks and communities and resources as well. Okay, so then as we begin to wrap up, I would like to focus now on inspiration and action. So if a teacher is listening to this podcast and thinking this sounds super nice and valuable, but I don't know exactly where to start, what is one simple activity or approach that they could try in their classroom? I don't know who wants to start. Yes, Hazel. Yeah.
At its simplest, you could really just ask learners, what small thing could we improve in our school? Think of one thing we can improve to make life better in our school. It can be that simple. And generating ideas in groups in response to that question, choosing one idea to test, but actually sort of evaluating each of those ideas, getting the class to vote on which one they would like to actually work on.
So first, small step and giving students more agency, I would say. And what about you, Cornelia?
Yes, I agree with this. And we have a such of like diary of opportunities, spend, let's say, 1 week just being kind of problem detectives. and then they brainstorm how to solve this and come with the idea. But maybe also in any subject, what I like to do, instead of starting a lesson by explaining a topic, maybe start by showing an object or, I don't know, a problem related to a subject or just the topic, and ask students to ask questions. Only ask questions. So, because, you know, again, I like this building of curiosity. So no answers, but questions. Maybe this power of questions is really important. And because it kind of shifts the power from a teacher, like a source of answer, to them, the seekers, let's say, of knowledge. So this could be very little step to start with a different approach, maybe. I just wanted to maybe mention that many years ago, I also developed an EntreLearn toolkit. And this is specifically designed to help teachers to take those first steps. And these EntreLearn, these toolkits, there are really nice activities to develop each of those 15 competencies of EntreComp. So maybe just just explore it, and I hope it will help you.
That's a wonderful tip for sure. Yes. But indeed, yes, Hazel, go ahead.
I can say that that's an excellent resource that we recommend to everybody. Definitely.
Well, indeed, sometimes small changes like reframing a task as a problem to solve can open the door to much deeper learning. Before we close, I would like to just ask if you would like to leave any other message to the teachers that are listening. Anything that you feel like it's really key for them to know, other than the examples, of course, and the tools that we shared? Yes.
I would say that entrepreneurial learning is more enjoyable. You can have more fun. And that's not to say that it's frothy, frivolous fun. You know, it can be the fun of really setting yourself a challenge and working hard to overcome that challenge, you know, but it's more fun because of that meaningfulness, if you like. You've got the purpose and the meaning and that real world impact. It's no better way to learn.
Yes, I agree with this. It can bring joy to the classroom. And I read once, and I like it, that being a teacher is the most entrepreneurial job in the world, because every day we are turning potential into action. So, yes, teachers can be teacherpreneurs. So let's be teacherpreneurs in our classrooms.
That's lovely. Thank you so much. As we've heard today, teaching entrepreneurship is not about turning every student into a businessman and entrepreneur. It's about helping young people to think creatively, act with initiative, learn from experience, and take responsibility for their ideas. It's also about empowering teachers to experiment, to collaborate, reimagine learning as something that connects school with the real world. And as you were saying, having fun with learning. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. And if today's conversation sparked an idea, perhaps that's already a first step towards entrepreneurial learning. And once more, thank you, Cornelia and Hazel, for joining us today. And
thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Nice, yes.
Well, thank you again. Goodbye, and stay tuned for the next episode.